Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It is time. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see Hannibal Buress at the historic Crest Theater in downtown Sacramento, March 22nd. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now. Nate, looking for caller number
six.
Caller number 6666 to score that pair of tickets to pull up for Hannibal Buress this Friday. For more information, visit sacktownsports.com. Caller number six, don't be too early. Don't be too late. I'm looking at the phone lines. Who's going to time it just right? 916-339-1140. 916-339-1140. 916-339-1140. As we close the chapter on the Knicks. For now, got them in a couple weeks, just as Domas mentioned, in the Garden, in the Big Apple, but we don't have to worry about that until we do.
That's right.
And the biggest takeaway is I do feel like the Kings hung around, right, and stood their ground. They didn't get punked against the Knicks, but ultimately that physicality affected their shots and they just couldn't get it done. The Brunson thing,
Yeah. Maybe
you blitz a little bit more. It's just funny to me when this team decides to blitz and when it doesn't decide to blitz. It's just kind of random.
Sure.
But yeah, my biggest takeaway is you did hang with them. You didn't get punked, but unfortunately there was just enough physicality to affect your ability to score the basketball.
Yeah, no, I mean, Jalen Brunson was great. I think that's really the thing that helped the Knicks a lot. I mean, if Brunson, again, if he has a 30-point game, I think the Kings win that one easily. But he was fantastic. They let him get into a rhythm. He had 27 combined points just in the second and third quarter. So he just got hot, and they really couldn't turn the faucet off. And, that's in a way been the story with the Kings all year. Is once a guy gets going, they just have a tough time, even if it's a team total. Like, they just have a tough time stopping guys who go on runs. I'm not going to be too upset about it. I don't know how many teams are going to be able to hold the Kings to 91 points in a game. Nobody wants to play the Knicks style of basketball. The Knicks are in the East Coast. Like, I just think that this is a game where we're going to look back and just not really ever think about it ever again. I don't think, to me, we didn't see the massive negative that I was expecting. The offensive rebounds, Kings tied them 11 for 11. The Knicks went crazy last year on offensive rebounds. You look at the things that have plagued the Kings all season long. Knicks three-point shooting, 28%. Mm-hmm. At Golden 1 Center, the shooter's gym, that is the Golden 1 Center. I'll take that. Kings shoot 80% from the line. Not great. Definitely not what we want, but it's better than they've been all year. Fox misses two. Domas misses three. We know how those guys go, but De'Aaron still did get to the line 10 times. Like, I think that's a really big development for him. So, you know, overall, it was a tough loss, but, you know, since it didn't affect the standings at all, I'm more than okay just brushing this one off your back and saying, you know, that's a tough opponent. Thankfully, we don't have to play them many times.
Yeah, and at least you did get to play them when you did, and now the Suns, not that you didn't know what to expect, but Right. Since the Suns lost, yep, and now the...
That's a bad loss,
yeah,
for them too, by the way.
Who was it?
It was against the Bucks without Giannis, and Dame just went crazy.
Yeah.
And, like, and your boy Bobby Portis went crazy too, yeah, and, like, that's a game where, you know, the Kings have lost that game all year long, right? They've lost games where the other team doesn't have their best player. This is a really big game for us, good opportunity for us to jump in the standings. This is what we've been talking about. It's not just been a Kings problem.
Right.
All the teams that are in this collection, which, by the way, I don't know if people have checked the standings recently. There's a reason why we're not bringing up the Pelicans anymore, because they have definitely taken care of business here recently. They're 2.5 games above the Kings
Suns. The five seed is cooked.
Five seed is cooked, from what it seems like. I mean, you would have to have the Pelicans drop some games here. And, you know, the Kings play them again in April, in that April stretch. So it would be wishful thinking. It still could happen. But, you know, we talked about it earlier. The Pelicans have at least given themselves the leeway to do that. So these Suns, Mavericks, Kings, even Lakers and Warriors, if you want, they just have not been able to take care of business all year. And so as a Kings fan, you just say thank you and keep it pushing, I think, after Saturday.
Yeah, and the thing is, at least you got to face the Knicks and then the Suns lost. Right. So now you'll get to face the Knicks again, which in New York is probably going to be more. We're going to be closer to the unless somebody falls off a cliff, the Suns and the Kings get hot before then.
Yeah.
It's going to be another important one.
Yep.
And we're talking about the Suns, the Mavericks as well. So going to be a huge game. That would have been a great day for, as we will do a little bit more pocket watching here at 12:15, but that could have been a great day for the Kings if it wasn't for Kyrie.
I know. And Kyrie, yeah, I don't know how much we want to talk about it now, but that's what they need. Like, they need Luka and Kyrie to carry them as far as possible. It was a crazy shot. Just like to even consider, hey, I'm going to take a 20-foot running sky
lefty
hook.
Lefty
over Jokic. I mean, you know, all you can do is tip your hat to him and say that dude's ridiculous. But it did make me think, and I don't think we ended up doing it, but we've talked about top duos in this league, and you know, Kyrie has a shot like that, and they get a big win over the Nuggets, and you know, the Kings have definitely handled the Nuggets a good portion of this year, but you know, those two guys are not a duo that you want to face, especially again considering a one game play in. If it is a 7-8, that's scary, man. That's just so scary.
You got to stay out of that play in for that reason. Yeah. We talked about the star power possibly in the play in, and we'll get into it here at 12:15. But you really don't want to be in that play
that smoke
for
man.
multiple reasons. As we close the book now, or close the chapter on the Knicks and open the chapter of the Grizzlies.
Yikes.
And still a ridiculous amount of players out. Brandon Clark, Luke Kennard, Ja Morant, Scottie Pippen Jr.
Jeez.
Derrick Rose, did you see somebody get caught up on the broadcast about the Derrick Rose, the fake Woj?
Yeah. I didn't see it, but I heard about it. Yeah.
So there was a fake account, as we do on this show. We try to double and triple check everything, but there was a fake account that said fake Woj account that said that Ja Morant retired, and it caught one of, I think, the national broadcasts.
Or that Derrick Rose retired.
That Derrick Rose retired, and yeah, and they had to walk it back because that's what happens these days.
They got all sentimental on the broadcast.
Yep, talking about, and it wasn't just them.
Yeah.
People were saying, wow, one of the great what-if stories, and a lot of people got. You got to check and check again.
Yep.
And then check again. But Derrick Rose is not playing with a groin.
Mm.
Marcus Smart is out. Lamar Stevens is out. My guy, Yuta Watanabe, is out. Zaire Williams is out. Vince Williams Jr. is out, which does mean that top shooting guard or one of the top shooting guards in the league, Desmond Bain, and his yoked biceps will be playing tonight.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not great. Desmond Bain has actually killed the Kings by himself before. I think last year he had 2 30-point games against them. So, you know, that's not nothing. That is definitely not nothing, especially considering, you know, this Grizzlies team, I hate to say it, man, but, you know, this is definitely on paper a gotta-have-it game for the Kings, a no-excuses game for the Kings, but these Grizzlies have been pesky, man.
There was a problem last time, and there was no Desmond
Bain. That's right. I
in
forgot
Memphis.
About that. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, while, again, on paper it might look like an easy one, it would not surprise me if tonight is one of those games where fourth quarter, things are a little tight. Maybe the Grizzlies go on a run. You know, and I could also see tonight being, you know, re-engaging the Boo Bird conversation, unfortunately. Like, this is a game where, again, I think fans are walking in with the expectation of looking at that injury report, looking at the Grizzlies' record, and saying the Kings have to win a game like tonight. And I don't know if it'll be that easy. I just don't. The Grizzlies have made it hard on, they've been playing down all year long, so this is nothing new to them. And if anything, they're feeling good. They're feeling like, I know, we're actually healthy right now by having Desmond Bain and Jaren Jackson. That's not something we've had all year, so it wouldn't surprise me if unfortunately the Kings do get a really good punch from the Grizzlies. Doesn't change the fact that they should absolutely win this game. Not necessarily in terms of, you know, the Grizzlies not standing a chance, but again, the Kings are in this playoff race. Grizzlies aren't even close. Can't allow them to play spoiler as you're about to hit the road here.
Grizzlies played the Thunder tough on Saturday, but then previous to that previously, they lost to the Hornets,
yeah.
who is a better Hornets team, but that was yeah. on Wednesday.
Also scrappy.
They lost 110-98, and then they lost 118-112 to the Thunder. And, yeah, I mean, look, if you look on paper, they definitely have enough to be annoying. You have Desmond Bane, who's back, Jaren Jackson, who I think is just playing every yeah. game for them.
Pretty much.
That's a problem. That's a problem. Luckily, Luke Kennard is out, or else I'd be really worried, right? Yeah. I mean, just from his ability to shoot the basketball. But, yeah, Desmond Bane in their loss, they did have Luke Kennard. But in that loss to the Thunder, you get a Jaren Jackson who had 19, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. 7 assists for Jaren Jackson. That's
yeah.
insane.
It's a nosebleed, yeah.
Desmond Bane, 22.7 assists, 3 rebounds. That is enough. And you get a guy like Jake LaRavia dropping right. 14.
G.G. Jackson
as well with 19 himself, 4-4. There's definitely we've seen the Kings trick off worse. I will put it to you like that. We've definitely seen them trick off worse.
Yeah, and doesn't Luke Kennard just feel like the kind of guy who's going to have a field day? He just feels like the kind of guy who would absolutely kill the Kings. I don't think he's really done it too many times.
Well, luckily
he's not in.
He's personal.
Oh, he is? Okay.
It says personal, jeez. So no Luke Kennard tonight and two personals for the Grizzlies with Luke Kennard and Yuta Watanabe. So, yeah, you got to take care of business one way or the other. When we return, continue the conversation. We go full-blown pocket watching coming up next, letting you know what to watch for tonight. And also, a quarterback that is maybe one of the most polarizing quarterbacks from a what-will-he-be standpoint gets moved. We'll tell you who it is. We'll tell you where he went. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
The shorthanded Grizzlies. The Kings are, I believe, 11-point favorites, the second biggest favorite tonight. Don't like that.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to say of the season, and I was like, well, the first, I would assume, was when they were 16.5-point favorites over Charlotte.
That's right.
And that's we saw right. how that movie played out.
Look, this is really how...
11's high.
11's high. 11's this high. This is how we drew it up, Chris. I mean, you have a team in the Kings who have played well. And look, if you want to say, hey, that game was whatever against the Knicks. It was a tough matchup. You couldn't get going offensively, but you still played pretty well.
Yeah.
That's all fine and good. Now you have a test, and this is where the – now, normally it's when the Kings are coming back from a road trip. In this situation, they are about to leave on a road trip, and this is what it is, man. This is what it is. You have to take care of business in this situation.
I'm looking here. I'm trying to find – the last game that you would say was against an easy opponent that the Kings handily won. And I'm just looking at a +5. Like, the Kings won by 5 or more.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any guesses as to when?
Man, oh, man.
Would you guess? Has it been this month? In February, January?
It was probably... I feel like there was one towards the end of February.
There, from my calculation, I would say... early February, a win against the Bulls after their win against the Pacers was probably the last time they handily beat a bad team, and even that was an 8-point win.
That was at home or on the road?
That was on the road. Mm-hmm. So if I were to look for home, when was the last time the Kings beat? That would probably be the Atlanta Hawks. That was the first game of the HB Revenge Tour.
That's right.
That was mid to late January. But looking at it, just the recent games against what I would call bad teams, and I'm not counting the Lakers as much as I would like to. I'm not going to count them as a bad team. Kings only beat the Spurs by 2 a couple weeks ago. They obviously lost to the Bulls. They beat the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves aren't a bad team. Clippers, they beat, aren't a bad team. They beat the Spurs before that by five. I'm not counting that. The closest one I'm seeing is the Chicago Bulls on February 3rd would be the last time that I would say the Kings handled a bad opponent, and that was not at home, and that was still only by 8 points.
I got to ask you a question,
Chris. So
11's
kind of crazy.
You mentioned the Pacers. Yes. Are you happy about Tyrese's downfall?
Whoa. Let's not spin this narrative. I would not say happy.
Well, he has not. Since the All-Star break, I haven't seen anything about him, really, and I know he's not playing well.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know kind of, you know, what are your smile levels at? If I could just check in.
You know, it's greater than a smirk, but I wouldn't say it's ear to ear. He has not been great since the All-Star game. If I'm not mistaken, I heard it earlier. He's averaging like 16-9 on like 35% shoot. Like everything is down for him. And I'm just curious what percentage of it is what. Like how much of it is he gets Pascal. He's no longer the 1-1-1 option with a bullet and not a close number two. And how much of it is the injury? Like, I do think it's totally legitimate to say he came back from that injury. He was on that minutes restriction. Mm-hmm. It just hasn't really worked out for him since the in-season tournament. I'm looking at, his post-All-Star game numbers here are actually pretty crazy. Let me see if I can put that next to his post-All-Star numbers. His pre-All-Star numbers. His post-All-Star numbers are 16, just under 16 points a game. 9 assists, which is down from, he was at like 27-12 before the All-Star break, and is shooting 42% from the field, 22% from three on 7 attempts. So, I mean, that's just a completely different
22%.
Person. 22% from three after he was shooting, I would assume, well over 40 for the first half of the season.
And doing the Dame time.
Should have traded for HB or Sasha or someone. Pacers, we could have got Pascal.
It's an interesting case for sure. But you're right, Nate. Like, I haven't heard anything about Tyrese Haliburton. And post All-Star game, they're 7-5. So they're barely hanging above 500 right now. They're not playing great basketball just like Tyrese is.
He was like top five superstar for few weeks. Like, he was everywhere. And I know a big part of it had to do with the All-Star game being.
Right. That's true, too.
Season tournament, too, though.
Yeah, they won that. Yeah, so it was just a couple of big highs for him, and now it's just silence, radio silence.
The streets are saying that Tyrese Halliburton's free trial as a superstar is up.
Oh, he's not putting his credit card in?
Dude, he didn't double down on VC.
He didn't double down.
So I'm looking at pre-All-Star. Just under 22 points. He shot 49% from the field, 40% on the dot from three, 7.9 attempts, 11.7 assists.
That is incredible.
So everything is down since the All-Star break. And, you know, yeah, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say it's the injury. I do think it's legitimate to say that he is more banged up now than he was at the first half. But also, I said it with De'Aaron Fox. Like, this is part of the development of being a superstar. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys can get, I don't want to say hot because that implies that it's not legitimate, but a lot of guys can put up those 30 and 10s or whatever. Even De'Aaron put up 30 while shooting 40% from three for a month, maybe a month and a half. It's really hard to do it for 82 games. And I think that's the point that both of these two guys are at, that they're understanding there's a different level of fatigue and expectation with you being the best or most important player on your team and having to do it every single night when the other team knows that you're that guy.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah. And it's, you can do it in small samples, right? At the beginning of the season, we were talking about De'Aaron Fox as an MVP candidate, right? There is, and now it's essentially a two-person race with Jokic and Shea. And this is really Shea's first time being in this situation. And who knows if Shea will get it. He probably won't get it. I think it'll go to Jokic again, which makes sense, but at the same time, there are just levels to having that level of consistency every single night.
Yeah, no, it's really, really tough. And that's why, you know, yeah, I give nothing but respect to Shea. Like, he might be a foul merchant. You know, he might, the numbers might make it look like he's significantly better than De'Aaron Fox. But you know what? He's putting up the numbers. He's there for his team every single night. And that's why they're in the one seed, is Shea has kept it up at 30 points per game. He has fallen off a bit in the steals perspective, but has been a dominant defender all year long. And that's why you got to have nothing but respect for those guys. It might be a different animal once it reaches the playoffs. And, you know, we see that the refs are starting to tighten up on fouls. Maybe Shea's numbers start to drop. But for all these young guards, they all are going through the process of figuring out, man, it's really, really tough to be great for 82 games. And, you know, that's why people have talked about shortening the season. It's one of many reasons why. But, you know, if it's going to stick at 82, you're going to have to learn how to play through it and learn how to manage your fatigue. Because I'll tell you what, both of those teams, Kings and the Pacers, would much rather have De'Aaron and Tyrese Haliburton playing how they were playing at the beginning season now than in the beginning of the year. I'll tell you that. And you know, it is interesting to see how both of those teams are going to finish down the stretch and how both of those guys finish and how that affects the standings.
Coming up next, pocket watching, what to watch for tonight around the NBA if you're a Kings fan. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins. Alan's running up to the studio right now. It's a nice little Taco Monday.
Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to peel the curtain back far.
Yeah. No problem.
I was just a little update. If I feel like we don't promote it enough.
What's
maybe
that?
We do. Just the YouTube chat.
Oh, you
know,
yeah.
I was in there in the break just kind of chatting with people, which is nice. It's just... we just jump in, and I love it. I love the YouTube audience. It's just a lot of fun because it's so live and it's so real. It's so raw.
It's the realest.
Have you ever seen that Garth Brooks video where he's like, I'm on Facebook now, and it's just so real. It's raw. It's just what the people want.
No. Garth Brooks?
Yeah. No. Do you guys know about Chris Gaines, Garth Brooks' emo alter ego?
No.
No.
Nate, you're too deep. You're too deep.
Dude,
in the internet.
Yeah. He's got an emo version of himself that he had an album with. Anyways.
That's insane.
Anyway.
That is absolutely
Taco
insane.
Taco Monday.
There
Taco
you go.
Monday.
As we get ready to pocket watch as well. And figure out who is playing. But Doug has been hanging on during the break. Let's get to Doug, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Doug? What you got for us?
Gentlemen, how are you today?
Fantastic.
Great. I got to find out where this Taco Monday thing is. I'm used to Taco Tuesday, so
same.
It's really messed up my schedule.
That's right.
So, first off, I carried this off from the weekend. I think you guys talked about this on Friday. And Kevin Huerter's having some troubled times, and he has pretty much this year. And I think that there was a take by one of you that said, you know, we got to kind of let him, you know, get through this and not be Debbie Downer and, you know, and remove him from that starting lineup. And I'm going to add a couple points that I have to that and understand where we are. So if we win 10 more games, we'll have the same record as we did last year, and that's not a bad thing considering how inconsistent we've been.
Yeah.
So the guy's getting paid. He's getting great money. I take a tenth of that money in cash, and I'll figure out how to go do this. So you're in the challenging aspect of what's going on in his career, and you need to find out what this guy's made of. For the sake of the greater good of the team, if the move is to go and says we play better based on this small sample size of Keon Ellis and go, what do we got to lose? You see what I'm saying? So the the sympathetic part, and yeah, I feel for the guy, and all that, you know, is good. But I want to be able to see, it's like, hey, what gives us the greatest chance? And Kevin, when you come along and things are getting better, and when practice and your shooting coach and a whole bit and that, all that stuff, and you get better, and then we're going to put you back in. Because what happened on Saturday is I go, okay, here we go. His first run in the game, if he goes 5 to 8 minutes or whatever it was, couldn't hit a shot. Mm-hmm. And then what happened? I said, well, he's not going to play in the second quarter, and then we'll start him in the third, and the same thing will happen. And then at the end of the game, he'll play 15 to 20 minutes, and then his numbers come out at something near zero. So his gauge is really in that first part of the game, you're going, oh, Kevin's got it tonight. And that earns him more time to be able to put him in and play him more. So that was the one thing I want to talk about, and then I can listen to that one off the air. The other one is with Mike Brown and his defensive reputation and stuff with Mr. Brunson going off, you know, and it's hard to implement these things on the fly. And if you've got guys that go and say, hey, this is how they defended Steph Curry, not the same number of weapons and stuff that Curry has, but Brunson, you know, it's like nobody else was doing anything. And so I'm just wondering, you know, from a coaching standpoint, it's like, you know, how quick do we get to these things where we can go in and make an adjustment on the fly? You know, we're not there yet, but you know, that's all I have. So I'll take that off the air. You guys have a great show, and go Kings tonight.
That's right.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks for the call. Thanks, Doug. Yeah. As far as the Kevin Herter piece, I think we essentially came to the conclusion of, hey, at the end of the day, not that we think anything's going to happen. I don't think he's going to get moved out of the line. I mean, it's possible, but it would have to be bad. But as far as a confidence perspective, I don't think Kevin Herter has any more confidence now playing 15 minutes a night than he would if they just officially made the move.
Yeah.
He's probably just an elephant in the room at this point as far as whether or not the move is going to be made. Yeah. Part of me feels like you should just rip the Band-Aid off. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when you take a Band-Aid off, it's hard to put it back on, right? It's not as sticky
as
it was. So, yeah, keep the calls coming on Kevin Herter or Keon. And then as far as the Brunson thing, that's essentially – that was my question as far as why didn't you just blitz more, right? And Brunson's a playmaker. They got a couple other playmakers. But a team like that just seems very blitzable.
Sure.
Because you don't want DiVincenzo to get going. But besides DiVincenzo, OG Anunoby supposed to be a 3-and-D guy. Ugh. There was no three.
Yeah, he was breaking everything.
There was no three. So, yeah, maybe that's something they look to do the next time they face the Knicks out there in New York. But, yeah, I was a little surprised I didn't see more of that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely get it. And I think, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. But definitely in that moment, you probably should try and just figure out how to stop Brunson. And, you know, if someone else gets it going, maybe you figure it out at that point. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, the Kings probably would say that they like how they played. I mean, I don't think they really have any issue defensively with what went on. I think you're okay with saying, hey, the only way that the Knicks can win this game, and I think I said it on Friday, actually, I didn't actually expect it to pan out, but was Brunson having 40-plus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's exactly what happened. You did a great job of slowing everybody else down. We talked about that the other day against, I can't remember who, it might have been the Bucks. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's a single game. It's almost like, you know, in a way, it was like last year teams would prepare for the Kings. It's really hard to prepare for a team that just plays so much different than everybody else. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that, if, you know, after watching the playoffs last year, you sag off, you play, you take away the Kings' DHOs and their cutters, it's going to make life harder for Sabonis. But it's hard to game plan for that in the middle of the season. It's easy to do it when it's a playoff series, but I do think that the Knicks just kind of, they're a tough team to game plan against, and the only way you're going to beat them as a team, and if you're on offensively, and, you know, at the end of the day, I think the Kings, I just think the conversation should be more about the Kings' offense, and even then, I'm not afraid of the, I don't think that there's going to be many nights where the Kings' offense loses them games.
There has been kind of a theme, and it's, I guess sometimes it can make you feel a little bit better when the Kings lose to some of these teams. A lot of times they're on their West Coast trip,
with
the East Coast teams, And a lot of times we've seen them then lose to the Warriors beat the Warriors and beat the Lakers. So I believe after the Bulls beat the Kings, they went on a little heater, and then they went on to beat the Warriors.
Right.
And it made you feel a little bit better about it. Tonight, and they've been promoting the heck out of it, Knicks at Warriors. Yes, it's everywhere. Knicks
10 o'clock
at Warriors.
Easter.
10 o'clock tonight. So for pocket watching, we have to root for the Knicks, and that's how I feel. I think you'd feel better if the Knicks do what they did to the Kings and go ahead and beat the Warriors for multiple reasons. I think it makes you feel better about the loss, and it helps the standings as well. So definitely keep an eye on – that's really the biggest one outside of, obviously, the Kings' action.
Right.
The Kings' second highest odds. I'm also seeing 10.5 now. Maybe it dropped a little bit. I know it was 11.
Word is out.
The word is out. And really, the only reason they're not the biggest is because the Celtics legitimately have the Pistons tonight. And I actually am interested because the Celtics, even though they don't have the championship, they are the gold standard this season. I want to know, and I think the Pistons have been scrappy. I think they struggled with the Pistons before the Celtics did. I think it was in Detroit.
I think so, yeah.
But I want to see the Celtics against the Pistons, and we have these conversations about the Kings, about showing up. I want to see, okay, if the Celtics are that gold standard, be up 20 the whole time. I just want to see it. It should not be a good game at all. The Timberwolves are at the Utah Jazz, and the Hawks are at the Lakers. So Lakers need that one. Warriors definitely need that one. And because Nate wanted to bring up Tyrese Halliburton, Cavs are at the Pacers tonight as well.
I'm looking at it here, and I feel like my eyes are busted completely. I need you to confirm this for me. Warriors 6.5-point favorites today?
Well, the make
sense.
Yeah, what were the Kings? Were the Kings were I think 5.5 on Saturday. Warriors.
Oh, OG's out. Okay, OG is out.
See,
tonight.
So OG just played one random game.
That's right. That's
against the Kings.
Yep.
He shouldn't have even played. That's why he bricked so much.
He took a nasty fall at the start of the game. He did. I think Keegan tried to take a charge and OG kind of landed awkwardly. I was surprised he ended up finishing, but. OG Anunoby elbow has been ruled out for Monday's game against the Warriors.
Second night of a back-to-back, too. I mean, yeah. I thought yesterday was,
But now, so now the Warriors get the Knicks. And this is the second time the Warriors lucked out. The Warriors, when they were in New York, it was just Brunson and no OG, and the Warriors won in New York. So that's the second time. They obviously, nobody is seeing Julius Randle right now, but the Warriors are not even close to seeing the Knicks full strength. So Warriors should take care of it. That's a team. You should not lose that game.
I still feel good about it, but I guess looking at the Knicks' depth, they really don't have anybody to replace OG. Like, I guess they maybe might throw Precious Achiuwa in the starting lineup. Maybe they throw Bojan Bogdanovic. I still feel like there's a good chance. I mean, if the Knicks play their style of basketball and really use the model that they just used to beat the Kings for the Warriors, you know, if they essentially say, Steph Curry, go ahead, you're going to need 50 tonight to beat us, like I actually think that the Knicks still have a really good shot at winning tonight.
Yeah, so that is the pocket watching for tonight. Bottom line is, as always, Kings got to take care of business.
That's right.
Coming up next, we discuss that quarterback that finally got moved and why he got moved and where he got moved. Sals and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Nate says he has a question for us that he wants to ask on the air. But don't be shy there, Nate.
Nice rhyme.
What you got for us?
I'm curious what you guys think, because I know you guys are pretty much at every game, so you may not have an opinion on this, a take on this. Just chatting a little bit with the YouTube chat here in the break. So Mason Jones is kind of being the hype guy on the bench,
right?
They've mic'd him up for a game. I didn't get to hear a ton of it, but I saw it. You know, they do the mic and they show as the game's going on, all the hype and stuff going on with him. That feels a bit like a gimmick kind of thing, like with
the
him.
The Kings did?
Yeah, for the broadcast, I believe he was mic'd up.
Okay.
If I'm, this might have been last week.
It was
so.
It was for the Knicks game.
It was for the Knicks game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
So that's
only
local.
I was at a silly party I didn't get to hear. Yeah, not national. That's not what I'm talking about. So the Kings, when they were bad for 16 years, they would kind of do stuff like this, like lean into. The big one that comes to my mind is there's Sauce Castillo. Are you familiar with Sauce Castillo, Alan?
Very.
Nick Stauskas, yeah, they accidentally closed caption called him Sauce Castillo, and they rolled with it, and they kind of made it a big thing.
Okay.
Similar with, like, this is similar, not the exact same, but Tyreke Evans, they really wanted him to be a point guard so he could average a certain amount of points, and the Kings could say they had a player that did this. And so this Mason Jones thing seems like a relic of that era. Do you know what I mean? Am I thinking too hard on this?
Just the shtick? You don't like the shtick?
Yeah, like Mason Jones, he's not even getting minutes, and they're really like leaning into him being this guy. It's kind of weird. It's weird. It's bothering me a little bit.
Do you want to go ahead?
Well, I know that Coach Mike Brown himself has said they're going off of him saying, "Hey, if it wasn't for his energy, then maybe we don't win." And he's literally said that himself. So, yeah, I think the better question is, I guess to me, is what exactly is it? Is he on the team at this point to do that? Because he doesn't get close to play.
I know. And so
I don't really have a problem with the miking up thing, but I do think it's interesting that he is not even a thought.
Well, the miking up play is kind of a just a part of it. It's not the main thing. I did bring it up first. I shouldn't have done that. But him, this is what you guys are talking about with like a leader on the team, how who's the leader, and it can't be Malik because he's sixth man. I know that's not exactly what you say, but it's kind of where the argument goes. So this guy who comes up from Stockton can't, it's just weird. Like, how do you take him seriously as your teammate? No disrespect to him at all, but if he's not seeing the court and he's not like on, you have to like dominate on the court. You have to like do something to get everyone going. It's weird to see a guy. He's not even like a veteran. He's not like JaVale McGee. So it's a very weird situation
to watch.
But
I don't think he's trying to lead them. I think he's just keeping spirits up. I don't have a problem with keeping the spirits up. It's not like, I don't think he had, I would assume he didn't have much to say in that players only meeting.
Is that annoying though? As a player, when you're Kevin Huerter, when you're De'Aaron Fox, and you guys are down by 10, and you're coming off the bench, you got this guy who doesn't play at all being like, "All right, guys, let's go. Let's hype it up." And but it's what are you doing?
But I don't think it's the not playing at all. And Chris and I, we had this conversation when it was first happening, and I said, you know, it's all fun and games when you're winning, but there are some people that, hey, man, it could be a little much, but I don't think it has anything to do with whether he plays or not. I think some people just don't like the always positive person. Because I had compared it to the Hunter Pence thing. So when the Giants were losing and Hunter Pence was on the broadcast and it's always rainbows and Skittles and everything like that, I don't think it matters whether he plays or not. I just think that the eternal optimist thing may get annoying to some people. But I don't think that – I think that's just – Everybody can get annoyed with someone who's just always positive. I don't think it has anything to do with whether he plays or not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have any problem with it. I mean, I think it's all positive. And, you know, yeah, they might get annoyed down 10 and he's coming up and dapping them up. But frankly, I mean, that's what he should be doing. Like, that's you're trying to make sure that these guys don't get too down on themselves. You always want them feeling like they're still in the game. And that's what his role is. Like, yeah, you guys say Mason Jones isn't playing, and so where he's impacting the game is with his energy. And so, you know, yeah, I think I have no problem with it. I don't view it as a shtick. I know exactly what you're talking about, Nate. I think that this is just him being him, and if you go to a Stockton game, he'll do the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's also not a King-specific thing. Like, Kent Bazemore got his footing in the league initially by being a bench guy, and then you get attention doing that. And then when you check in, people see, oh, wait, this guy's actually a player. So not only does he provide something but on the floor, but he's also giving you good energy. I think it's only a positive. And I get where maybe fans could say, you know, yeah, oh, this is being shticked up, or we don't need to see this from a guy who's not playing. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's a dude who's trying to solidify himself on this roster, even if it is just for this year. He's trying to show them his value, and I think that his energy is definitely part of his value.
Yeah, and you look at a Kings team who...
And those were all bad teams that you listed as well, like the Tyreek thing and the Sauce Castillo thing. That was when this team was bad and needed to have you tune in for some reason. Mm-hmm. They don't need Mason Jones to get eyeballs on these games. You're going to watch the games for the quality, not for seeing who's most hype up on the bench or how you can get... you know, the most viral clip on YouTube.
And also, if you look at the people to choose from to have mic'd up, I think a couple things. Number one, people probably watching the game, either in the arena or at home, probably are wondering, what the heck is it that Mason Jones is saying the whole time? And are curious, legitimately. And number two, this is a team who, besides Malik, I mean, you don't have a ton of options to do the mic'd up thing. They're not the most...
Yeah.
You don't want to mic up Keegan?
I mean, right. That's a shtick in itself. Right. That's another shtick.
I just want to clarify. Mm-hmm. I'm being very cynical. I have no hate or anything towards these guys. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, in the head of an athlete, in such like a high, intense tension environment.
Yeah.
Do you not? I mean, we've played sports before. You any competitive thing.
Yeah.
You get frustrated with people and you get frustrated.
Sure, yes, the eternal optimist can be annoying, but I think it's harmless.
He's also been there for like a month.
Yeah, I think it's harmless. Are there
That's
times-
a problem though for me. Like, he's new. He's this new guy who's trying to like step in.
I'll put it to you like this, Nate.
Okay.
If they wanted him to stop, somebody would have told either him to stop or told Mike Brown, tell him to chill.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I think.
But everyone on the team is, it took Trey Lyles to call like a team meet. I feel like they don't, I don't know. There's just a weird chemistry thing here. I'm reading into
There's
too
always
much.
Supposed to be a bench mob, though. Like, you know, all, Frank yeah, Mason, yeah. you know, Dante I, Green. Like, yeah, you know, I just, if you're
they
not
play.
You dap him up. It's not like
you
he's in this
dude. You do that so because you don't play.
He daps him up and then they go sit down.
Yeah.
He's not in these dudes' ear trying to tell them how to play the game. He's just keeping it generally positive.
And would we rather have him be negative, come over to the bench and be like, man, they whooping y'all today. Hey, right. Man, y'all ain't got a chance.
Right.
Y'all better get right.
Let me get in there.
Let me
get in there. You know, right. So let's hear from Bridget and what she has to say about Nate hating on Mason. What's up, Bridget? What you got for us?
Hey, guys. Okay, I had to call in. This is my pet peeve of the season so far. This guy to me is he's a media fiend, man. He jumps off that bench and runs almost halfway on the court to give these guys, it's embarrassing actually. The last game he was not even suited up. He was all in his gray sweat.
Right.
And I like, what's he doing out there? And it's all, I think it's very much for media attention. I'm going to tell you, I've been watching this guy. I watch the look on the other players' faces. He tries to give him a high five. They like, yeah, whatever. I mean, I don't know. Somebody, I'm ready to call Kyle Draper and say, hey, what's going on with this guy? But I think he's distracting. I'm just gonna say he's distracting.
Wow. Hey, thank you for your opinion, Bridget.
What's up, Bridget?
Yeah,
huh?
Thank you for your opinion. That is, I'm seeing here. This is from Gerald Contreras on the Sack Chat. I noticed this mic'd up thing last game. It appeared the other bench players.
Yeah,
seemed
maybe
a little bothered.
Maybe we'll
by
have
it.
To watch the video. I mean, we were at the game, so we didn't get to look at it. I mean, maybe there's definitely something to it, because if multiple people are feeling this way, it's not nothing.
No, there's definitely I am not refuting that it could be annoying. How harmful it is
harmful,
to the team, I don't know.
Right.
Is if okay, he's
it's definitely not harm. I mean,
That's what I'm
thinking. If anything, it's helpful.
Right. I think if you're De'Aaron and you're not in the mood and you know Mason is just going to he's gonna run off the bench, you dap him up, and then you walk to the bench.
Yep.
If he was really in these dudes' ear, like, hey, you should have zigged
exactly.
when you zagged.
If he's Draymond, you know, talking to KD, like,
I know that you need to do that, then I think it would be a little bit different. But I don't – that's how I see it. Now, how that comes off to other people like Bridget, that's a different conversation.
Right.
As far as whether you think it's genuine or not. I think he's just kicking it. Let's be honest. He's got a pretty decent situation, right? Everybody makes a – he's not making a ton of money, but there's worse things to do than to hang out on an NBA bench. Yeah. And maybe he just doesn't have any reason to not be hyped up. I will say this, though. Once you set the
yes,
president,
right.
it's hard to
Can't
go
tone
back.
It down. Yeah.
So once he gets to game five and whatever it was and Coach Mike Brown brought it up, now he can't just be Kessler Edwards next game. Exactly. So he is a bit stuck.
Yeah.
He's stuck in the shtick.
Yep. Whether if it is a shtick.
If it is, and it could be genuine.
I've heard he's very high energy in Stockton as well.
Yeah.
I've heard that this is just kind of
It's got to be different
is.
When he's playing, though.
Of course. Yeah.
So
no,
he's not playing. He's no, he's not going to play. And he has been... This is his thing now, and now they mic him up.
This is really interesting.
I don't think
this is fascinating.
Yeah, I don't think that it is a negative, but like I said, we all have that friend who's just a little bit, maybe a morning person. Hey, I'm not there. I'm not here today.
Right.
I don't have the energy. Right. So do you just ignore them, or do you
confront?
Or do you confront? And we have texts coming in that we're going to read as well as we continue the conversation. Do you think Mason Jones is doing too much?
Wow.
916-339-1140. Is Mason Jones doing too much? I never thought we'd get here, but here we are. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.